A message from the Road Safety Authority.
And now, it's time for the talk of the Northwest. The 9 to Noon Show with Greg Hughes on Highland Radio.
Hello, good morning to you. You're very welcome along to the 9 to Noon Show here on Highland Radio. It is a Monday, another week, and it is the 27th of May, 2024. How are you all keeping? As you heard from Donald there, we are into the second and final week of our pre-election debates. The European debates are concluded now, so we're focusing only on the local elections. And we're back in Letterkenny today, by the way. And we've had, can I just say, an amazing response. Mostly positive. Obviously, some people will take some issues at times, and that's good too. All the feedback is welcome. Our local election debates continue today. We're staying in Letterkenny. We had part one on Friday, which you can watch and listen back to at your leisure, of course. Part two today. Right, and I'll remind you of that later in the hour. Let's see what's making the headlines in some of the newspapers today. Starting with the Dairy People Donegal News, Relay for Life 2024 has been hailed a massive success with up to 3,000 people attending the event at ATU in Letterkenny at different stages over Saturday and Sunday. On a weekend of celebration and much emotion, Relay for Life ran for 24 hours from Saturday afternoon through until Sunday. And one of the highlights of the weekend was the Luminaria light display on Saturday night. Around 4,500 candle bags circled ATU's running track in memory of those no longer here. We got to call in briefly yesterday and the weather was lovely, and I think it stayed mostly dry for most of the event, which is good. I hope forecasts suggesting otherwise didn't put anyone off, but over 3,000 attended, and congratulations to all involved in the organisation of that. These things take a massive amount of effort, and it's great to see it rewarded with a big turnout through the gates. The Derry News this morning, a Derry man has called for a change in the law which names people accused of serious sexual offences before being convicted. Martin Robert Doherty was charged with four counts of rape against the same woman in May 16th, 2023. He also was charged with eight counts of assault on the female in 2021 and one charge of sexual assault. However, following a review of the case by the PPS, the prosecution offered no evidence at Derry Crown Court on April 29th, Judge Philip Babington then directed the jury to find Mr. Doherty not guilty as a result of being named in a preliminary inquiry at Derry Magistrates Court last year. Mr. Doherty said his life has been ruined. It's an interesting one. The laws at North and South are a little different there. If you have a view on that, let us know. On to the Nationals now, and finally it seems that polls and opinion polls are sort of catching up with the reality, and I do wonder sometimes, and I continue to wonder, and we've said it on the show before, the reliance of these polls. Immigration now tops the list of voter issues as elections draw near. Immigration and housing are dominating the list of the issues voters noticed about what the government has done in the last month, according to the latest Irish Times Ipsos snapshot poll. The research shows that the vast majority of respondents who cited immigration and housing as the issues they noticed have a negative view of the government's performance. The monthly snapshot seeks to gauge what voters are noticing about what the government is doing and whether that pushes the country generally in the right or wrong direction. It's a strange one, this, the way they assess the government. Not that they're assessing the government, it's just it seems a strange way of going about it. It comes 2 weeks ahead of the local and European elections, the first test at the polls for Simon Harris as Taoiseach. Okay, and some good news in the polls for Simon Harris, which we'll get to anon. On to the Irish Independent. Nearly 5,000 hospitalised with mental disorders connected to the use of cannabis. Nearly 5,000 people have been hospitalised for mental and behavioural disorders in 5 years after taking cannabis products, new figures show. Medical experts have expressed serious concern about the type of cannabis products now available, as some contain much higher levels of substances known to cause psychosis. Cannabis contains hundreds of psychoactive chemicals, with the substance, and I'm not even going to try and pronounce it, THC, effectively, being mainly responsible for the psychoactive effects associated with the drug. The HSE has warned how cannabis is now being grown under conditions that make it much stronger in THC, meaning there is a higher risk of the negative effects linked with cannabis. It's also become particularly concerned about the use of a prominent semi-synthetic cannabis cannabinoid found in vapes, warning there are potential public health and social risks. Now, I'm sure there are those that would say, look how many people are hospitalised with mental disorders having drank in the last 5 years, and on it goes. It's that type of debate that I think people are sort of locked in on their views on cannabis use and what have you. I think it's different, though. The sort of the vaping side of it as well. It's hard to know. Hard to know what the story is there. Did you see? I was going to see if I could get the audio up here of something I've never really seen before, and that was Niall Blaney, Senator Niall Blaney, and Micheál Martin having a bit of a spat, I suppose you could call it, a public spat. I'll play the audio for you a little later on if I can, because this is radio. There's no point in me just reading it out. But I can't actually just access it at the moment. I intended to do that before we come on air, but then I forgot. But anyway, what is said? Fianna Fáil Senator Niall Blaney has been criticised by party colleagues over a desperate stunt to boost his profile in the European election campaign. Mr Blaney publicly criticised his party leader, Taoiseach Micheál Martin, for failing to support his electoral campaign at the launch of the Fianna Fáil European election campaign last week. Now, we did have Senator Niall Blaney on the radio in the morning concerned about this. But I never thought he would sort of raise the issue in such a public forum in front of his party leader. Standing beside Mr. Martin at the press conference, the Donegal senator said, "Unfortunately, I'm not getting the same support as other candidates are getting, and that's a problem for me." Mr. Blaney's running for a seat in the European Parliament in the Midlands Northwest constituency, along with party colleagues Barry Cowan and Senator Lisa Chambers. The public spat in front of the gathered media has not gone down well within Fianna Fáil, among both the loyalists and anti-leadership camps. The move has been viewed by party leaders or party insiders as a way of Mr. Blaney making himself relevant as he struggles to get a foothold in the campaign. "Everybody is violently angry with him," a Fianna Fáil TD said. Violently angry with him? A Fianna Fáil TD told the Irish Daily Mail. Mr. Blaney told the Sunday Independent he had a robust conversation with his party leader after the press conference. So what did you make of it if you did see it? I mean, at the end of the day, regardless of politics or which party was involved, you do get a sense that maybe the other candidates are being favoured over Mr. Blaney, but maybe that's just not the way to do it. I don't know. What do you think? 0860 25000. The Star this morning, obviously, I think it's because people are kind of a little bit tired of all the other news. These aeroplane stories are getting an awful lot of coverage. And there was another instance of severe turbulism on a plane. Terrified Irish passengers have revealed their horror after 8 people were hospitalised when a flight to Dublin from Doha hit extreme turbulence at 30,000 feet yesterday. The force of the frightening plane plunge was so strong that the backside of one passenger's shorts had a large hole ripped in them, while a number of the crew were injured after hitting the roof of the aircraft. Passengers, some of whom were eating a meal when the turbulence hit, said food was sent flying all across the plane, with one woman stating, "I thought it was the end of my life." And you can imagine, I never take my buckle off on the plane. Not for that particular reason, but it might work in my favour, God forbid, if that happens when I'm on a plane. Right, the Irish Sun this morning, and all papers cover this, by the way. Sinn Féin's popularity has plunged and the party's now barely ahead of Fine Gael, according to the latest opinion poll. A Red Sea study for the Sunday Business Post published yesterday found Mary Lou McDonald's party had dropped 4 points to 23% support. It puts the main opposition party on top of the polls, but just 1 point ahead of incumbents Fine Gael on 22%. It means Sinn Féin gains since the 2020 general election have been wiped out, with it sitting at its lowest level of support since before that vote. And it just makes the formation of a government very interesting. And I've said right from the very beginning, and it's on the record, that please don't rule out, or no one should rule out, the current government being returned in one form or other. It is also a massive 13-point drop from a May 22 survey that had the party at 36% support. The study put the collapse down to nosediving support from younger and working voters, working class voters, whatever a working class voter is. But anyway, there you go. And finally, very sad news from the world of golf. And Grayson Murray is a professional golfer, and he is a very good golfer. just 30 years of age, and he was playing in a tournament at the weekend. He pulled out unexpectedly, saying he wasn't well, and very sadly took his own life. His parents have spoken out about this, and the parents of golfer Grayson Murray have told of their grief after his suicide at the age of 30. Eric and Terry Murray urged people to be kind in the wake of his death. The couple said in a statement, "We've spent the last 24 hours trying to come to terms with the fact that our son is gone. Life wasn't always easy for Grayson, and although he took his own life, he rests peacefully now. Please honour him by being kind to one another." Please honour him by being kind to one another. American Murray died on Saturday after pulling out of the Charles Schwab Challenge in Texas on the PGA Tour the day before. The double PGA winner had regularly been open about his battles with anxiety, depression and alcohol abuse. May he rest in peace. And just as the news broke of his passing, the online speculation began as to why it was. Some saying it was this, some saying it was that. Effectively, rather than sort of saying, "My word, this is terrible. What's happened? It shouldn't happen." You know, people just sort of weaponize it, say, "Well, this happened because I'm right about this other thing." I'm not getting into the ins and outs of that, but it just is incredibly sad. I hope we don't lose our care for one another as we move forward. Okay, coming up very shortly, just after 10 o'clock indeed. Oh, by the way, sorry, I should let you know, because of the way the debates are falling and getting everybody into studio, we're bringing forward Community Garda information to today. So that will be on today with... who's in today? I don't know actually who's in today. I haven't been told. So Community Garda information is coming up before 10 o'clock. And also we have Brendan Devaney joining us. He's going to be talking about the weekend sporting action. What did you make of Donegal's performance at the weekend? It was something else, wasn't it? And, you know, watching on, you would have to say, and maybe, you know, we shouldn't say it because it might bring us bad luck, but you're looking at that team and then you look at the Dublin game that went on before it and you do kind of wonder, you know, who's there that might actually be able to beat Donegal. I think we'd give any team a good run for the money. Shannon, can I have the details of the next guest, please, if you don't mind, because I took that ad a little bit early. If you want to comment on that football game as well, 086 60 25,000 is the WhatsApp and text number, or give us a call on 074 91 25,000. Right, I think we can say good morning now to Owen Curry. Are you there, Owen?
I am indeed, Greg. Good morning to you.
Great to chat to you. This is Owen Curry, Travel Extra editor. I presume by coincidence and no particular trend, Owen, we're talking about a second major turbulence incident on an aeroplane. What do we know about what happened on this flight?
The flight was from Doha to Dublin. Very popular route. A lot of people travelling further, mainly Australia, India, places like that would be on it. Over Turkey, it had turbulence, and we do think there were injuries. 8 people were brought to hospital. Nothing as serious as we saw with Singapore last week. But as you say, unusual to have 2 incidents like this on the tail of each other.
And, I mean, I know, like, you're more focused on what's inside the plane and where it's taking you than what's on the outside of it, Owen. But what do we know about, or what do you know about turbulence and its cause and the impact when you're actually a passenger in the plane?
We know surprisingly little, Greg, seeing that, you know, it's been a problem for aviation for many years. It doesn't tend to cause major crashes. There is a question about one way back in Japan in 1966. But that's one of the reasons that when aviation safety and a lot of work has been done on it, people have turned elsewhere to things like valves, thrust, engines, all of those sort of things, flaps. And turbulence has sort of rumbled away in the background. We had a total of 21 injuries from turbulence last year in flight. And that's pretty much where it has been over many years. So it's brought a lot of focus to it this week, that we've had 2 incidents on the heel of each other. There are 2 types of turbulence. One of them is associated with mountain ranges. The other one is clear air turbulence, notoriously hard to see. And what we've only begun to see in the last, just pre-pandemic, was an initiative where information on turbulence was shared across airlines. It used to be just a case of a pilot would radio his own airline and say, "I've encountered turbulence," and the information would be passed on. But the technology is there for more rapid sharing of information. And one of the good things that will come out of these two incidents is we'll probably see an acceleration of that.
And the reality, too, Owen, in terms of the planes, this doesn't do the planes much harm really at all. The design for these type of events, it's the impact it has on the passengers within the planes, really, that is the concern. I wonder how much would wearing your lap belt protect you from it? I think particularly with last week's event, a lot of the injuries were caused by people being thrown from their seats. I think it's all probably best practice, is it, just to keep it at least loosely across your lap, if particularly flying international?
Now you have it. You know, if everybody was felt it, neither of these incidents would even be mentioned. I've flown very turbulent routes. I mean, one of the most notorious is Santiago in Chile to Ushuaia in Argentina. And it was quite a turbulent flight, but nobody unbelted for the whole flight because the reputation it has. What we'll probably see out of this is more stringent rules about belting, more stringent rules about hot food. Singapore has decided not to serve hot food and cups of coffee, things like that. But, you know, the real thing comes back here. If it had been foreseen, and listeners will all be familiar with the captain saying, we're entering turbulence and please belt up. And everybody belts up and it passes without incident. In both cases, meals were being served. And it's a big issue for airlines, not just for the comfort of passengers, but also for their own staff. Staff were injured. If the staff are on their feet and have no time to react, that is a big problem. It costs airlines something between $500,000 and $2 million dollars a year on average. And it costs in things like fuel emissions. And that's before you come to the big issues like fatality, as we had with Singapore, not caused by the turbulence, but related to it. It was a heart attack and also the injuries.
And I suppose, too, the fact that these two stories were front page last week and front page again this week points to how rare they are, how rare these events are, and that we are talking about, very sadly, the loss of life. But as you say, it's suspected to be a heart attack, which I can only imagine was exacerbated by this event. But that being said, you know, some will read these articles and say, I'm not getting on a plane. You could also look at this and say this is a very good argument as to why aeroplane travel is so safe when instances like this are double-page spreads in newspapers.
Pretty much. You know, neither of them were massive turbulence incidents. We've had turbulence descending, aircraft descending over 1,000 feet in one drop. In Singapore, incidents were about 300 feet, but it was trashed up and down twice, a bit like a tumble dryer in a washing machine. And that added and prolonged the whole experience. In the Dublin to Doha, it was only a drop of about 30 feet. But then it was the timing of it and the fact that people were being served at the time. We've had cases where people have been thrown by a very big drop into the furniture overhead and being killed by that, the in-flight fatalities down the years. But they're very, very rare. For two reasons. Seat belting is much more stringent nowadays. I expect it to get more stringent again. And during COVID, there was a lot of other issues that people were just belted in. Discomfort, by the way, Greg, a long flight. Try coming from Australia, not being able to undo your seatbelt for your up to 21 hours with your stopover or on a direct flight, as I did from London to Perth. That was 17 hours in the air. It's important to get up and walk around, according to the health professionals, for other reasons. So there will be a conflict. The main thing is, if we could predict turbulence a little bit more accurately, now pilot would be in the position to press that all-important button, seatbelts on, and cabin crew, return to your seats.
Okay, right. And I suppose, like everything, our response should be proportionate to, you know, how often these things happen and what have you. Owen, thanks very much. Appreciate your
Always
time.
Always a great pleasure, Greg.
All right, take care. Owen Corry, Travel Extra Editor. Have you ever been on an aeroplane with extreme turbulence? What was it like? I've been really lucky. I mean, I've had the odd shudder, but nothing that would displace anything. You know, I think any time I've flown, and it's always been kind of, you know, the short-haul flights, really, if the truth be told, any time I've flown, I've never even seen enough turbulence that would rattle a cup. Do you know that sort of a way? But I presume other people's experience and those better travelled than I would be somewhat different. A reminder for you. It is part two of our Letterkenny Municipal District debate today. Yesterday, we had on Friday, we had a very enjoyable, very robust debate amongst candidates on some of the big issues facing Letterkenny. Infrastructure. One of them, of course, how you get in and around Letterkenny and how you get through Letterkenny too. You know, unfortunately, for a lot of people that have to travel to different parts of the county, you still have to get through Letterkenny. So infrastructure is a big deal. The development of the town, housing, migration also came up. And I'm sure all of those issues will be touched on again. So that's part two of our Letterkenny electoral area debate. Jimmy Kavanagh, Anne McCluskey, Jerry McMonagall, Michael McLaughlin, Donald Mandy Kelly, Vincent J. Bradley, Eula Hughes, Kevin Bradley, and Thomas Devine are amongst those who will be attending. We had invited Nuala Carr of the Green Party. She declined. Right, let's take a break because we still have Community Garda information and I look back at the weekend's GAA action after these.
The Community Garda information slot is brought to you by Sheridan Security Systems, protecting what you value most. Call today and get your zero-wire alarm system from €299. Sheridan Security, 91 26025.
Okay, it is a Monday, which is a little unusual, I know, for this item. It's Community Garda information, but we are bringing it forward by a day and an hour just to accommodate the local election debate. So thank you very much, Garda Sergeant Eunan Walsh, for calling up. Thank you. Good, good, good. It's good to have you with us again. OK, let's get straight into the appeals, starting with a missing persons appeal, Eunan.
Yes, this is an appeal for a missing 15-year-old child called Stephen Boyle Gregg, who is missing from the Maharabeg area of Burnfoot since last Saturday, the 25th of May. Stephen is described as 5 feet 7 inches tall, medium build, brown hair and blue eyes. When last seen, he was wearing a black night hoodie and grey bottoms. A picture of Stephen is on the Highland Radio page for reference. And anybody who has information on Stephen's whereabouts is urged to contact Buncrana Garda Station 07493 20540 or the confidential line 1-800-666-111.
Now, Gardaí investigating a burglary in St Johnston, Eunan.
Yes, this is a burglary which occurred last Tuesday, the 21st of May, shortly before 6:30 p.m, Greg, in the area of Milltown, St Johnston. Damage was caused to a door of an agricultural shed in the area and entry was gained. Some damage and vandalism was caused within the shed, and we're appealing for anybody who may have travelled into the area around the time with dashcam footage to make it available to Gardaí. We are particularly interested in any sightings of five youths who were seen in the area at the time. So if anybody can assist with information, to contact Letterkenny Garda Station 07491 67100, or again the confidential line 1-800-666-111.
And again, I suppose this serves as a reminder, Eunan, that you know, parents and guardians may have a role in preventing these types of instances.
Yes, the information we have, Greg, these are local youths, so we are asking parents, guardians to speak to their children in relation to the consequences of criminal behaviour and the impact that these consequences could have on their future. And again, if any of the young people involved hears this appeal, we urge them to come forward to speak to Gardaí.
Investigations ongoing into a burglary in Rathmullen.
Yes, this is an appeal into a burglary which occurred at the parochial house at St Joseph Church in Rathmullen. It occurred last Wednesday, Greg, the 22nd of May, between 8 a.m. and 3 p.m. The rear door of the parochial house was damaged and entry gained. Some paperwork was stolen from the house, but nothing of monetary value was taken, but again, some damage to the door. So appeal to anybody who may have observed suspicious activity in or around the parochial house on the date and time, so last Wednesday the 22nd of May, between 8 a.m. and 3 p.m, to contact the Gardaí at Milford 074-9153-060, or again the confidential line 1-800-666-111.
Yep, and that was a daytime incident, which we don't often see, so maybe something might jump out at a person who observed something. And Eunan, just to reiterate, it's important, isn't it, that the people that may have some information don't judge its importance or not, that anything that was seen or observed If they think it's in any way suspicious at all, pass it on to the Gardaí and they can work through it.
That's correct. It may mean nothing to you at the time, but it may be a valuable piece of the jigsaw to solve these claims, you know.
Unfortunately, we're talking about another theft from a church unit.
Yes, this is a theft that occurred at the Church of the Immaculate Conception in Killeagreg, again last Tuesday, the 21st of May, between the hours of 8:30 a.m. and 6:15 p.m. again during the day. The church was open between these hours, and at some stage during those times, the wooden leaflet stand on the donation box, which was located at the entrance hallway, was damaged and the cash inside was stolen. And again, if anybody observed any suspicious activity, as you say, in the area at those times, we'd ask them to make contact at Gardaí Letterkenny 07491 67100. The cash stolen is believed to have compromised of coins. So we also appeal to nearby businesses to alert Gardaí if to recall anybody calling on the date or the days after with a substantial amount of coins to spend, or if they were requested to change coins to notes. Simple things like that, but maybe of importance.
Yeah, it could be critical. Right, okay. Now we are on to criminal damage in Duhurry.
Yes, this is an incident of criminal damage that's occurred at the Cork Shrews.
So just before that, I just wanted to ask you in relation to the increase in reported crimes committed on church grounds. You know, we have a parochial house today. We have the Church of Immaculate Conception, Killay. And unfortunately, every other week or every week, we're talking about churches which, for very good reason, are often, you know, open, being targeted in this type of crime. I think, you know, the Gardaí can't stand at the gates of every church. We don't want churches to be closed. So we, as the broader community, do have a really significant role, I think, in trying to prevent this.
Yes, as you say, we have two this week. We've had some in the last couple of months as well, and it's a problem nationwide. And as you say, during the day, these churches are empty, you know, most of the time, unlocked for people to go in, pray, whatever. And of course, they're vulnerable to attack. So again, should any members of the clergy or any parish committees wish to up the security measures at their church, or seek advice in relation to security measures, they can contact our new crime prevention sergeant for Fergus McGrory at Letterkenny Garda Station, 07491 67100, and again he'll be happy to assist anyway in relation to extra lighting, CCTV, or maybe even times lock into church, you know?
Yeah, that just talked through
what would be the best.
Okay,
yes.
Right, okay, sorry about that. I just thought important to mention, especially as Sergeant Fergus McGrory's new into that position as well. Right, sorry, moving back then to the criminal damage in Duhurry.
Yes, this is a criminal damage incident which occurred last Friday, sometime after 11:30 p.m. and before midnight at the Corkscrew Hill in Duhurry. The tourist information sign at the location was pulled out of the ground and broken, and again a number of wooden planter boxes were turned over and the plants discarded. So we're appealing to anybody who may have travelled in that area between 11:30 p.m. and midnight on the date with dash cam to make it available to Gardaí at Milford, 07491 53060. And again, if anybody can assist with relevant information, to please contact the Gardaí.
I mean, none of it makes any sense, but that is particularly bizarre behaviour on behalf of whomever did it. Right, investigations ongoing into a road traffic collision in the west of the county.
Yes, this is a collision, Greg, which occurred on Saturday past the 25th of May at approximately 4:20 p.m. at the Carnmore Road in Dunloe. It's at the junction between Lower Main Street and the Carnmore Road. The collision involved one vehicle, three pedestrians, one adult, one child and a young baby. The pedestrians were taken by ambulance to Letterkenny University Hospital to receive medical treatment, thankfully none of which are believed to be life-threatening in any way. So we're interested in speaking to anyone who may have witnessed the collision, and we appeal to anybody who may have travelled in the area around the time who has dashcam to make it available to Gardaí again at Milford, 07491 53060.
Now, as we know, there are many, many people in this country, far more than, say, for instance, in Britain or the rest of Europe, who drive without insurance. And that has ramifications on many different levels, not least in driving up the premiums of those who do comply with the law. For quite some time, Gardaí were a little bit, I don't know, they were a little bit hamstrung in how to deal with this in terms of access to the information and what have you. And now, I think it's 13,000 plus Gardaí do have access to an insurance database which is updated every single night. Tell us more about it.
Yes, as you say, we can now check your vehicle's insurance status by checking the your registration number of the vehicle on our mobility app, which is basically an app on our mobility devices. Well, they're more or less mobile phones, but apps on them, we call them.
Thank you. Someone has finally just said what it is. You get a phone for work and it's got an app on it.
Yes. All right. Well, numerous apps. I know, but this is one of the apps.
You can open it, point it at the car.
So there's improved technology and data sharing with the Motor Insurance Bureau of Ireland, and it's helped to transform roads policing in Ireland. As you say, we have the highest, one of the highest ranking countries in Europe for uninsured vehicles, 3 times as high as the UK and 4 times as high as the EU average. And that's, I think, mainly because we didn't have the technology, and now we do. The new system for identifying uninsured vehicles was launched last Friday, the 24th of May. Now eliminates the need for Gardaí to manually check a driver's insurance, and you scan the registration into your app and it pings to their mobility device any motor insurance is disclosed, including driving without insurance. So by having access to the Irish Motor Insurance Database through our phones or mobility devices, we're in a stronger position to detect those breaking the law by driving without insurance. So just by way of information, had I some statistics there, had I?
I think really it's probably going to be along the lines that, that this has been available for a couple of months and there's been more people detected.
Yes, over 50 vehicles a day have been seized since we had the app. And as you say, I think it's up to €35 is on each of our insurance premiums to cover for uninsured vehicles involved in accidents. So by having the app, we're getting the word out to people. We're going to take your car, seize it, take you to court, prosecute you. We will decrease the number of uninsured vehicles on our roads. We will decrease the number of accidents involving uninsured vehicles. And eventually, we will decrease the value of the cost of premiums from people who insure the vehicles yearly. Yeah.
And fleet vehicles, there was an assessment of all fleet vehicles happened towards the end of last year. Not an assessment, but an obligation and commercial vehicles, but fleet that's being added to the database in the coming months as well.
Yes,
which covers all bases. Right, okay, so that information is out there now. Gardaí have an app and they can tell instantly. So in other words, if your insurance ran out at 6 o'clock yesterday evening, and you decided to drive this morning with the old disc in the windscreen, this technology would flag immediately that the car was no longer insured, just to give perhaps maybe a real-world example. And then there are those that actively try and avoid paying insurance. We are just saying goodbye to an awful lot of people from Northern Ireland who were in the county as they had a bank holiday or have a bank holiday, Republic holiday today. Next weekend, it's the June bank holiday weekend in the Republic, and the usual warnings apply, I'm sure, Eunan.
Yes, these bank holidays come around fairly quick, don't they?
Not quick enough.
Do you get the Monday off, do you?
I do.
Oh, very nice. And
do you?
Jimmy be on, does he?
Jimmy Stafford, right? Yeah. He loves Irish music.
Look, we're appealing to all our road users at the head of the June bank holiday weekend. A busy weekend ahead. Again, brings higher volumes of traffic onto roads, but this comes an increased risk of collision. And we're asking road users to please use the road safely. Again, slow down, wear your seatbelt, do not drive under the influence of alcohol or drugs, and do not hold your mobile phone while driving. These are what we call the simple, the lifesaver offences. And again, if you've been drinking overnight and getting a taxi home, you may not be safe to drive the morning after, so don't risk it. And again, with the good weather, Greg, I saw over the weekend a lot of cyclists, motorcyclists, and again pedestrians.
And we're going to see scooters and people towing boats and caravans.
Yes.
And next weekend, actually, there's high pressure moving in over the country next weekend as well. So it looks like it could be good weather, and that does. And listen, Eunan, you know, a massive proportion of this is very much in our power.
It is.
We just don't have to take
it. It's up to each individual.
Yeah, exactly.
And we obey the rules of the road. The simple things: wear your seatbelt. Don't carry your phone in your hand. Don't be on your phone. Don't drink and drive, and obey the speed limits. And if you're planning a journey, bank holiday weekend, it's going to be extra busy. Allow an extra 15 minutes, half an hour to get there.
And fiddling with your digital screens as well. Some cars now have something that's 10 times the size of a mobile phone, and you do see people fiddling at that. And that's distracted driving as well, which is very much to be avoided. The Relay for Life 2024, huge success, fantastic for the organisers and for all of those this touches. And Gardaí were there, as they always were. I saw there was a motorbike there that young ones and older ones to get their picture taken, and it was busy for all the time I
was
there.
Yes, it was. And we had the Soka Garda stand too, which is very popular. So we just want to thank a quick message of thanks to anybody who called to our stand this year and who supported our team in any way. A fantastic event, and again, we're delighted to take part this year, and a massive well done to all involved in the organisation and running of the event.
Brilliant stuff, Ewan, and thank you so much, and thanks for pulling the item forward for us. I do appreciate it because I know it required some people working over the weekend on it as well. Very, very much appreciated. That's Garda Sergeant Ewan Walsh. That was Community Garda Information. It returns to its normal slot after the 10 o'clock news next Tuesday. We're going to take a break and come back. We're going to be talking GAA with Brendan Devaney. Brendan Devaney is getting ready to present his DL Debate podcast, Highland Radio's GEA podcast, this evening, just after the 7 o'clock news. And three guests all talking about the Donegal game yesterday. And we want Brendan's views on that as well. Brendan Devaney, Donegal yesterday looked the real deal.
Yeah, indeed. Saturday, don't be skipping a day there.
Sorry, Saturday night, yeah.
You're all right. Listen, Greg, what a performance. What an evening, you know. I pulled out there at the top of Lurgy Breck. And all my years going to Ball Buffet, I had a traffic jam about a mile up the road. I couldn't believe it. I was like, this is crazy. Such was the interest in the game. And I know maybe Tyrone, you know, the last number of years being at the top all the time, they sent back 2,500 tickets and they were gobbled up by Donegal fans all over the county. And it was brilliant. Even met some people there after the game back from London. And, you know, everybody was in such great form. And I know, Greg, you're debating a lot of stuff there, and it tends to be that the tougher issues people talk about. So on Saturday evening, just the buzz and the atmosphere, the kids out and pitch and everybody from Donegal just in form. And it's great to have that that kind of element to our county at the minute, that, you know, everyone's engaged in it, the Proudleys boys and another phenomenal job from Jim.
They all look, you know, 10 times fitter, 10 times taller, 10 times stronger as the games progress here. It wasn't just about the victory. It was the nature of the victory and the control that Donegal had throughout the game, and also to the burst of speed and, you know, incisive play really deep into the game as well. I mean, it was just impressive all around, I thought.
Yeah, we didn't see that the last couple of games as much, Greg. We were very much sitting deep and counter-attacking. Some of the play was very slowly built up. That had something to do with the tactics of the other team. You got the feeling there that it wasn't Ulster Championship knockout anymore. It was a group stage. And it just, both teams seemed to open up that bit more. They did squeeze in each other's kickouts, which Tyrone did in the last day. And it made it for a game where you hadn't got the full 15 always inside. And then when it came to pace, Donegal were all over. And if you think about it, last year, Greg, we lost by 9 points to Tyrone. You know, there's a 16-point swing. I mean, that's huge in a year. And you know, it's all down to, as you said there, Jim, and the fitness. And you know, there was this big talk about Donegal, the high of Ulster. Could they reset? Were Tyrone waiting for them? But, you know, we had a talk night in McCool's there Friday night, just talking to Frank McGlynn about after Donegal won big games, they got, you know, training really, really tough, because it kind of breaks that mindset of, oh, we're also champions, we've done something. It's a reset thing where, you know, it's a real, real tough sessions to kind of get your head back straight on. We have a job to do, and my God, did they do it? You know, as I say, like the energy, you know, I was speaking to a fella from, as I say, from London there, and he was saying Jim was over at a fundraiser, and he was like, listen, I can't promise what we're going to win, but I will promise you something, we'll be the fittest team out there, and our stats will show that, and you could see that on Saturday evening.
It's unbelievable stuff, and the team then whipped away very quickly afterwards. Is that part of the process?
Yeah, some people were questioning that about, you know, the players and integrating, and you know, it's always nice to see that. But listen, Greg, after the Ulster final, The season's so condensed now. If it wasn't, I don't think that would have been an issue. But you had just the 2 weeks. But after Ulster final, we had the great scenes. Everybody was out for ages on the pitch with all the kids and their families and friends and that, which was great to see in that crowd. But I think with Cork coming so quick, Greg, next week,
We can't rest on our laurels, can we?
Exactly. Yeah. Now, Greg, people are automatically going to say, oh, we'll beat Cork. That, you know, from Jim's perspective, even hearing me saying this now, like, you know, this ain't happening. This Cork team away from home can cause us problems. So if we're not completely on it, we could mess up all the work. Good work we've done with Tyrone, because we're in control of the group now. You know, certainly Clare at the neutral venue, you know, we'd be massive favourites to win that. So Cork now away is that slightly sticky game that you want to make sure you're totally focused for. And I think that was for the reason that the lads come straight off the pitch, because it's just next week and we didn't want to be out, you know, signing autographs and pats on the back. I think because this is such a dicey game now, if this was the middle game and we had Clare in the neutral, it might have been different. But I think what that is respect to this Cork team and the focus.
And I suspect McGuinness is looking at this as we're a third of the way through the big game, effectively, which is the round robin series, isn't it? You know, I mean, it's you can't over celebrate your first win because then it all comes tumbling down next week, potentially, which it probably won't. Watching Dublin beforehand, and having watched a few other teams, and you know yourself, I don't claim to be any expert at all, Brendan, but sometimes those you can see it maybe with purer thoughts, if you know what I mean. Donegal to watch are as good as any team in the country at the moment. And I know we talk about managing expectations and all that kind of stuff, but look, Ulster's in the bag. We're looking forward now. There's a fantastic buzz. No team will want to play this Donegal team in the form they showed yesterday.
Yeah, Greg, I think, you know, analysing it's you got to look at the opposition. The last two, the way we took Derry apart tactically was unreal, and then we had two very, very tight games. You know, many ways, Tyrone sitting deep, you know, it was a real kind of one of those modern type end-to-end possession-based game. But we've seen the pace and the brilliance of Donegal open up last night. And that's the type of game, Greg, you're going to see at Croke Park. So I think that's why it's got a lot of people excited, because people are saying, oh, it's year one, it's too early for Donegal, it's too early. Like, what's too early? You know, if you can do it now, let's go for it. And I think that second element of the game, which people were questioning about, you've seen it there with Donegal all over the pitch, because once we can get our defence right and solid at the back, when we break, I mean, every one of our players can put the ball over the bar. And if you even look at Oisín Gallen the last night, you know, Greg, 7 from 7 shots.
And they're mad to get on the score sheet as well.
Everybody coming in, you think they're going to score.
Yeah.
And, you know, gone are the days when you had a couple of marquee boys inside. Now, you look at it, even as a McCall, that coming up and scoring that equaliser the last day out against Tyrone, and just everybody that's coming on and contributing. And as you say, you know, Patrick Morgan and Ryan McHugh and them. Good luck, Greg, to them on a fast-playing pitch when you're one-on-one with these guys, because they're going to take you on. I thought it was very evident from the get-go, Greg. We won the throw-in. Darrell Boyle gets the ball on the left-hand side, and he immediately attacks Tyrone, and I was like, brilliant. Because how many times have you seen rotate back? We've got possession now, let's keep it. Throw and fall into their 15 shape, and it's like, oh, here we go, over and back. Darrell Boyle just went straight at them, and I thought there was the moment. There was, if they say, Jim was saying, Mosh, we get the ball, we're going after these boys. Yeah. We're not going to be like last week or the semi-final where Throw went ahead of us by 3 points twice. Now, that's it, Greg. Throw did miss 7 wides in the first half. They missed 7 opportunities in the first half, and could have been a small bit different. We had a lot of goal chances as well, maybe. So both sides went at half-time thinking, you know, we could have done a lot better. Yeah. But that second half performance in particular, Greg, just blew Tyrone away.
And the one thing I always thought Dublin were very good at, and again, correct me where I'm wrong here, is building a lead, not necessarily a massive lead, but building a lead and managing that lead and also having the ability then to kick on if that lead becomes threatened. And there was a bit of that in Donegal yesterday. Some brilliant game management, you know, holding the ball when it needed to be, but also being able to restore an advantage when that needed to be done as well.
Yeah, and you're right, Greg. There was that Tyrone, when we made 3, 4, 5 points up, there was a couple of periods where they came back and got a couple of scores, and you were like, right, we need to move on. Tyrone seemed to be playing disjointed, Greg. You know, they didn't have Donegal's cohesion is unbelievable. Every player seems to want the ball and be able to work the ball. And with Tyrone, there's a couple of players seem to dictate their game. And when they're not on the ball, then they don't have that cohesion. You know, they play in different levels up the pitch in terms of who's on it and what they can create. Whereas with Donegal, it doesn't seem to matter who gets on the ball. Every one of them are so comfortable. And for years, Greg, that's one thing Donegal always did. We always produce natural football and talent. So as long as we get our defensive shape right, and it was good the last night. Now, a few times, both teams would have been unhappy in their zone of marking. Runners got in behind them. So there's always things to work on in terms of picking up men and being wise to that. But okay. I think, as I say, going forward, Greg, it was that second half.
A joy to be
brilliant to be there, to be doing the, the commentary with Ashley. Brilliant. Really, really enjoyed it.
Right, tonight, Roland McNamee, former Tyrone star, Michael Hegarty, former Donegal star, and Colm Keyes from the Irish Independent will be joining Brendan Devaney to chew over all of it. And there's plenty of excellent sport to look forward to next week as well, not least the next game coming very, very quickly. But for now, Brendan Devaney, thank you very much for that. Take care. Sure. Brendan Devaney live with you after 7 o'clock this evening, brought to you in association with Sister Sarah's Letterkenny. We're going to take a break now for the news and obituary notices, and we're back with our election debate, Letterkenny Part 2.